All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you here. I'm actually probably less frazzled today in this room than I have been in the past, because when I was a teenager, this is where my first job was, as a camp counselor in the summer. So imagine this room full of 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, and you're supposed to lug them around all day long and feed them lunch, and there's 10 of them, and they're crying, and some of them don't want to walk. So I am so much happier to be here with you today for this comfortable, relaxed day where I could listen to the birds as I walked in. So that's a good beginning, I think. I did also bring a copy of the book, so just so you guys could have a visual of what we've been talking about, and we refer to Glenna Marshall. This is her book, so if you look that up there. All right, frazzled. That's me. Any given day. For example, one particular Monday, I was hoping to sit down and devote some much-needed time to a project, this talk, with an approaching deadline. I had planned on it. Instead, Miriam spiked a fever and coughed incessantly through the night. Yay! Great sleep for everyone! And the boys, in turn, requested help with editing their end-of-term papers, which were due later that week. A glance around the house revealed a several-week pile of unchecked math papers, baskets of undealt-with laundry, and a full counter and sink of dishes, all accusing me of not getting things done. Servicemen had called to say that they would be showing up today around 10 to take care of a house project that had been delayed by weather, and my email inbox helpfully reminded me that I had a new list of questions ready to be completed in the allotted amount of time in order to maintain my certification with the American Board of Pediatrics. So, fantastic. There was no way. There was enough coffee in that coffee pot, and it was only 9:30. So, this kind of day is not unique for me. In fact, Brad and I have an oft-repeated conversation that starts with me sighing, "I feel like I'm failing." "At what?" he helpfully inquires. "At everything," I reply with desperation in my voice. Life can be incredibly hectic, and I can become weary or worn down as I balance the different roles that the Lord has given me. Wife, mother, housekeeper, physician, teacher and homeschooling mom, church member, and pastor's wife. Just thinking about it all can leave me feeling frazzled and a bit overwhelmed. It feels like just one more straw might break this camel's back. The state of being frazzled, as I'm defining it, is when life may not have a major trial staring you in the face, but there is the business of regular responsibilities, normal challenges, and everyday struggles that lead us quickly to feeling overwhelmed and unsettled. Now, I know I'm not alone in this, and I'm confident that many of you can take that same Monday morning that I described, change some of the variables and details, and insert a persistent strained lower back, substitute an unsettling family conflict, add a frustrating call to the insurance company for a denied medical claim, or swap in a setback for the aging parent that you're caring for. Poof, suddenly it's your frazzled morning. As we continue to think about what it means to live as women who desire to be faithful every day, we would do well to spend a little time wrestling with the question, what happens when life seems to get in the way of my faithfulness? These real and tangible responsibilities, where our hands are full, confront us every day and need to be acknowledged. Meanwhile, what does it mean to be faithful? I think of faithfulness as a daily and persistent pursuit of the Lord while actively seeking to know and follow him. When life presses in, we can tend to believe that frazzled and faithful cannot coexist. It can feel like they aren't compatible. The immediate felt and pressing needs can act like they are the enemy of faithfulness. But this is not really true. I would like to propose that we can, indeed, anchor ourselves to and faithfully lean into our almighty, sovereign Lord amidst frazzled seasons. I would like to lay out two common myths that we can be tempted to embrace when life is hectic, overwhelming, or uncertain. First, I can be tempted to think that I just can't be faithful when I'm frazzled. I've been put in an untenable position. I feel like the victim of my circumstances, and I cannot control the outcome. Woe is me. I turn inward toward despair and self-pity. The second myth that we can believe is a slightly different variation. Due to my particular circumstances, which nobody else can understand, no one can reasonably expect me to be faithful right now. I'm excused for this season. If you're familiar with the line, "I can't even," insert that right here. I can't even. I can't even think about it. I can't even manage. I become defensive and resentful. We tend to hunker down in a survival mode mentality that feeds the excuse mill. Glenna Marshall provides some of the common ones that you and I can probably identify with. I'm too busy. My time is just not my own. I was up with the baby all night. I haven't slept in weeks. I'm just trying to survive right now. Well, I know that I have uttered or thought a number of those. But she goes on to acknowledge that these are really hard seasons. But, she writes, to forgo the habits of prayer, Bible reading, and church involvement until life is less chaotic will mean that a significant portion of our lives is spent largely without attachment to and dependency upon Christ. And one could argue, these are the years that we need him the most. We have to confront this lie that faithfulness and frazzled cannot be compatible. Being frazzled is not actually the problem. Do we think that the Lord does not see us or know what we are in the midst of? Do we want to believe that his sovereignty doesn't extend to our very days? The Lord does see us. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, the Lord and author of all. He superintends our circumstances, and he knows what we need. It is essential that we see clearly how our frazzled circumstances are not the real problem. If we are in Christ, we have everything we need for life and godliness right now, right in the middle of our chaos. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4 say, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." You see, our most desperate need is to be reconciled with the Lord, saved from our own innate sin and allegiance to this world. We were dead and ungodly, but God the Father did not withhold his own Son, so that by Jesus' atoning death and resurrection, all who would believe in him would be united with him. As Peter puts it, we become partakers in Jesus' own nature. And he now grants to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If the Lord provided such precious means to reunite us with himself, the blood of Christ, will he not also provide the means for us to faithfully walk in his ways? So that means we have a choice. We now have the opportunity to take hold of those means and choose to seek the Lord, to follow the Lord, to know the Lord today. We need to seek what he wants us to do faithfully in this moment, not some theoretical time 5 years down the road when we think we might be less frazzled. One of the songs that we sang this morning referred to Christ as our sure and steady anchor. The anchor metaphor speaks to our need to depend upon Jesus and the steadying presence that he brings to our daily lives. Now, I know there are some avid boaters out there among you. I, however, cannot claim to be any expert in boating. But from my great uncle's cabin in South Hero, I have had the opportunity to observe the sailboats that move gracefully across the bay. I love to see them gliding in a line as they make for the narrow channel between South Hero and Providence Island. It is like the most beautiful spot on the lake, in my opinion, with some of the best sand in the lake, but it does become quite shallow. Also, as you move towards the channel, the landscape quickly converts to craggy cliffs and jutting ledges. The anchor is necessary for these sailboats to harbor safely, for their crew to sleep peacefully and know that they will wake up in the same place. Without that anchor, they would drift to their peril. Perhaps someone would wake, take note, and course correct, but the boat could run aground, or worse, become irreparably damaged against the rocks. Anchoring in the bay secures them should the winds turn and the waves increase their tumultuous assault. We are like those boats spiritually. It's easy for us to drift. We have the opportunity to rely on our sure and steady anchor, Christ, to protect us from the drift and to steady us when the rough waves threaten to overwhelm us. Well, how do we practically tether ourselves to Christ so that we can persevere through calm and storms? How do we anchor ourselves today in the midst of our hectic lives? When there just doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day or enough bandwidth to manage all that's on our plate? I look back over the 18 years that marked my walk with Christ, and I must say that if the connection to the anchor ultimately depended upon me and my faithfulness, then I would be in trouble. There have been times when, I confess, it has felt like I have been connected to the anchor by dental floss. There have been times when I could not see the rope and I felt tossed about by the waves. Thankfully, Jesus is the one who holds his loved ones fast. And when Jesus holds me fast, I do hold fast to him. I have come to rely on the sure and steady rope that I know holds me bound to Jesus, my anchor, and I am oh so grateful for that. One important lesson that I have learned as I seek to be anchored to Christ is to embrace my creatureliness. The Lord made me, and while I am made in his image, I have not been granted any special superpowers. In other words, I am not Superwoman. He ordained 24 hours in my day, 168 hours in my week, and I am bound by time and the limits of my physical body. Nevertheless, I am called to seek him and know him. And while my relationship with him is not measured by lengthy checklists, he has given me the ability to lean into him in some very tangible ways. These very good activities, referred to as spiritual disciplines, which I can pursue, are engaging in God's word, devoting myself to God's people, leaning into prayer, and seeking to do what God's calling me to do today. As the chorus goes, help me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me. As this chorus echoes through my heart, I want to be able to ask at the end of the day, did I do what I could to lean into the Lord despite my frazzled, harried, demanding day? Now, how can I work to answer that question with a yes? Number one, I am frazzled, but I can be devoted to God's word today. The scripture is rich in filling food for our souls, whether we imbibe it in the form of the preached word, personal Bible reading, or memorization and song. We need it. As the sun, according to the good and merciful creation of God, provides us with warmth, energy, and life, so essential is God's word to us. One day, I was sitting with a dear friend, coffee cups in hand. Pick up your Bible every day and read just one verse, Kathy encouraged me. She was the wife of my first home group leader and mother of five elementary and teenage children. As she frequently did, she was taking time out of her busy schedule to listen to me, mother of one or two rambunctious, energetic tots, as I poured out my overwhelmed heart to her. I would love to say to you that I seized upon her wise advice, hurried my little self home, and began to work into practice a regular pattern of turning to the Lord through his word, if only for a verse or two. Instead, I would fall asleep attempting to read at night, and I would get helpful but discouraging reminders on my phone about the Bible reading plan that I was so miserably failing at. I was so tired in those days. I have chronically averaged about 6 hours a night of sleep over the last 20 years, and those nights were then interspersed with babies waking and my pager going off. What Kathy was encouraging me to do was to look to the Lord as my sustenance every day and use the means that He has gifted to me. Although my Bible reading did not flourish at that time, I did understand that I desperately needed God's Word as much as I needed physical nourishment and food. What I did find that I could plug into was the regular weekly preaching of the Word and taking in Scripture in audio form. This served me so vitally in my early days of motherhood, which was a rough transition for me. Go figure that you can spend 4 years of medical school, 3 years of pediatric-specific training, including neonatal intensive care training, and have a year of pediatric practice under your belt, and still not be prepared for the little bundle that the Lord gives you. The 2 months after Isaiah was born, he was colicky in the evenings and slept in 20-minute stretches throughout the day. At the end of the day, Brad would come home to often still find me in my bathrobe. My brain didn't feel like it could engage in much at all. However, we had been given the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones as a baby shower gift, and it came with an audio CD. I would pop that CD in and listen to David Suchet narrate the arc of the Bible in simplified form. Isaiah had no understanding at that point. But his mom needed to be reminded daily that all of Scripture points to Jesus with his never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. For years, I took the opportunity to fill my ears with the words of the Bible through listening to Seeds Family Worship and the Corner Room's albums of psalm songs as I carted the kids back and forth to Grandma's house, church, or Hannaford to go. I also have benefited from helping my kids practice their Awana verses. I, myself, would not be up to snuff to earn the Awana bucks by citing book and verse reference or even accurately quoting the words of the verses, but there are many phrases or partial verses that help press in those truths when I need to take them out and remind and inform myself. Taking in God's word preached through our pastors is additionally ever so precious. We have the opportunity to partake of that sustaining gospel message regularly every week. I will never forget my friend Tina's service to me in those newborn Isaiah bathrobe days. He was 6 weeks old, and I was not quite ready to put him in the nursery. And yet, it felt like all my waking energy was devoted to or distracted by Isaiah, whether at home or sitting at church. Tina approached me and offered to hold him for me in the back of the sanctuary for the duration of the sermon. She had masterfully managed her own 4 kiddos through the baby and toddler stage. Isaiah nestled down into her capable arms and swaying body, while I slumped my weary frame into my husband's side to receive the word through the sermon prepared for my soul that day. My own systematic reading of the Bible is actually still in the toddler stage itself. But it is growing, and it has been such a blessing to me. It was Liz Ebers who was the Lord's instrument to nudge me along in this area. In the winter of 2020-2021, I still felt like I was on quicksand coming off the COVID shutdown, a family and church move, professional upheaval, and continued isolation. In a casual conversation one Sunday after the service, Liz simply shared how much she was blessed by reading through the Bible in a year for the previous so many years. There was nothing, absolutely nothing in her manner that was boastful or suggestive that I should be doing the same thing. She was just simply ready to share with me how the Lord had been encouraging her. Well, that encouraged me. I was doubtful that I would be able to read the Bible in a year, but I was resolved to try the 2-year plan that BJ has suggested to us. And if it took me 4 years to complete it, so what? I wanted to lean into the Lord's word so that I could know him better. Approaching personal Bible reading this way and coming up with a plan that works for me has yielded sweet benefits to my soul, including help helping to bring gospel perspective to my day before I encounter the expected and unexpected challenges that I'm likely to meet throughout the day. Number two, yes, I am frazzled, but I can be devoted to God's people today. One of the comforts that the Lord has given me is that I am not alone as I run this race of perseverance in the faith. I have learned that my soul is cheered and emboldened by leaning into the church despite my busy life. In fact, he has provided us with a spiritual family and a support network in the form of his church. In this family, we give and receive, we seek to build up and serve, and we can humbly and gratefully accept the love, service, and support of others. Glenna Marshall suggests, rather than fitting in church when you can, build your family's schedule around the church schedule. Practically, we can do this by engaging in Sunday morning worship, dedicating time to home group, fostering fellowship with other individuals within the church, and seeking to build relationships among our brothers and sisters. Be together, serve together, study together, seek counsel from one another. Did you know, dear sisters, that the Lord used you to specially minister to me in the last few months? You probably didn't even know it. You had probably just gone to church like a regular old Sunday morning, and you were worshiping because that is what the Lord delights in. But what had happened that week is that my younger sister had been diagnosed with breast cancer, which was known to have spread to the lymph nodes. I had spent one of the days at UVM that week with my sister and her husband meeting with four different specialists. Feeling anxious for my sister and grieved by this diagnosis, I entered into worship with a heavy heart. But the Lord met me and ministered to me through our worship. As you and I lifted our voices together singing, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord Almighty reigns," I was bolstered and reminded, God is sovereign. He is sovereign in all things, in cancer, in life, in all things. I can trust this almighty, all-powerful, loving God. And the Lord used you collectively, my sisters, in that moment to steady me, to tether me, and to keep me from drifting into anxious and troubled waters. At the same time, the Lord had been teaching me about trusting him through an excellent book written by Jerry Bridges called Trusting God. I would recommend it to anyone. Initially, although excellent, it seemed destined to end up on the shelf, holding a number of other great books, which I can vouch for the first two chapters. Fantastic, yes, but I am not great at finishing them. So, Trusting God has been different, and I have gleaned from the good exhortation within about God's sovereignty, God's power, and God's wisdom, all because a sister in the church, Sarah Norton, has been walking alongside me reading this book with me. We have been reading 1 to 2 chapters and then emailing insights and quotes to one another. It has been sweet for our relationship, sharing life and our thoughts together, and I think that the accountability has been beneficial for both of us. I don't feel like going to home group tonight, I confessed to Brad. The snow was coming down thick, as in a real storm, but the roads were passable, and it was a small, brave quorum that made their way to the Genest house that night. Yet, what happened that night was astounding. Lindsay, who was investigating the truth of the gospel and had been coming to RGC for just a few weeks, asked, "What do you mean when you talk about believing?" What ensued was the lovely opportunity for Jenna Ray, Skylar, Brad, and myself to each in turn give testimonies to how Jesus had saved us. Additionally, even though they had not yet professed faith, Carly and Sandra were ready to share gospel truths with what the Lord was revealing to them. We had not planned for anything extraordinary. We were present, and as 1 Peter 3:15 exhorts us, we were prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Fast forward less than 2 months to another evening where Ben, Carly, and Lindsay all shared that they had experienced saving faith found only in Jesus Christ. Tears flowed, sniffles abounded while tissues were passed, and smiles appeared on all our faces that evening as we joyfully celebrated together. The Lord has given us an opportunity at RGC through the context of home group to build relationships with different people in different stages so that we can know one another and strive to help and point each other to the Lord. Devoting ourselves to one another today in community and in relationship with one another is faithful service to Jesus, who dearly loves his church. Number three. Yes, I am frazzled, but I can be devoted to prayer today. This is where I feel my frailty. I am not good at prayer. There are prayer warriors out there. I know some of them. They are men and women who spend hours in intercession, who are fantastic about making notes of requests and praying for it later on, and who really know how to get on their knees. I have heard of people with prayer closets and sisters who faithfully journal their prayers. I am like the opposite of a warrior. I am feeble. But the Lord doesn't call me to be good at prayer. He is calling me to engage with him, to seek his wisdom, to orient my heart toward him, to love others by interceding for them. It has actually been through the regular discipline of reading my Bible that I have also grown in my prayer life. Kind of like when you start exercising, it can also naturally open the door for better discipline in eating or sleeping patterns. Prayer and Bible reading work in a rather symbiotic fashion to enrich each other. Prayer feeding the desire to treasure God's word, and the scriptures deepening prayer. Little daily steps of faith through prayer will yield faithfulness, fruit in faithfulness, and draw us closer to the Lord. O Lord, teach me in this situation. O Lord, grant me wisdom and patience as I face the day that you have for me. Help me to stay anchored to you as I face it. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me. Number four. Yes, I am frazzled, but I can do what God's called me to today. One of the truths that the Lord has been helping me to learn is that I am actually accountable to him and to him alone. I am tempted to fear mankind and be driven by the expectations of others, pulling upon myself a list of duties that I think that other people expect of me. The doctoring world can expect me to work full-time, travel and attend conferences, and read journal articles, engage in advocacy and community, there's so many things I cannot keep them all straight. That's really true. engage in advocacy and community and participate in biannual quality improvement projects. On a homeschooling front, I can take on expectations that I should have all the boxes checked for the curriculum, go on nature walks, read aloud, visit historic sites, enroll the kids in art, music, and sports, etc. And shouldn't a pastor's wife always have a clean house, extra food prepared, play the piano, and make sure her husband's clothes are ironed? Whoops, not going to live up to that. I can also be driven by personal desires, adding to the mounting tasks, things that I want to get done. Gardening, baking, going on walks, reading good books. While there are so many good things among these, I can run around like a frazzled, crazy lady trying to fulfill them all. What I really need is to be able to look at these opportunities as the Lord sees them. He did not create me to fulfill each and every one of these tasks. So daily, I find that I need to step back and seek his wisdom for what he desires of me today. I know that he wants me to seek him. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. 1 Chronicles 28:9. The world tells us that what we need is balance in our lives and things that make us happy. What we actually need to do is invest in eternal things in order to gain a lasting joy. I have needed help gaining clarity on this and have needed guidance on how to practically set some of my priorities. Frankly, this might mean cutting out some things that are unnecessary or unhelpful. And sometimes it takes talking with an older or wiser saint to give clarity, especially when you're oppressed and you don't know which end is up. In a season of our lives, which involved Brad traveling on multiple trips, a move, a coming baby, and me solely covering my medical practice while my boss was gone, I needed a dear wise woman to tell me honestly, "Honey, this is not the time to go out and buy peaches to make peach jam." And then I had to confess to her that I actually had 2 bushels of apples at home waiting to be made into applesauce because I had really, really wanted to make applesauce. I thought that making applesauce would bring some normalcy to the situation and make me happy. She was right, though. Applesauce was not going to make me happy, and applesauce was not going to give me stability. I needed to submit to what the Lord was truly calling me to do and to lean into Him during that time. Yes, faithfulness is doing what God has called me to do today and to rely on Him to see me through to the end. To my dear friends who may not yet know the Lord or are uncertain of where you stand before Him, my encouragement to you is also to lean into these same means of knowing the Lord through scripture and sermons, Bible study, prayer, and engagement with the Lord's church. I became a Christian when I was 27, and before that, in my youth and my early 20s, I was going to church, reading my Bible, and doing Bible study. These things did not earn me salvation from the Lord, but they were the means which God used to reveal Himself to me over time. And when the Holy Spirit did work through the preached word and I felt the Lord calling me to repentance, I heeded and responded to His calling. Friend, what is God calling you to do today? He is calling you to repent and believe in His Son. I encourage you, let the other ladies in your life know where you are in your wrestling with spiritual things so that they might be privileged to pray on your behalf, and trust that the Lord uses these ordinary means of grace to draw sinners like yourself to Him. Ladies, faithfulness is leaning into the Lord on a daily basis, taking little steps of obedience, seeking Him through His word, through prayer, through engagement with the church, which is the body of Christ. We can do this in our frazzled lives and emerge more deeply anchored in Christ's sustaining love and mercy. In that year, following the peach jam and applesauce, our baby Miriam was born, and we were trying to discern if the Lord was calling us to move our family to Cameroon to serve in missions. The process involved taking a 3-month-old infant to a missionary assessment training in Florida, and eventually leaving our children, 4 years, 2 years, and the baby, to visit the mission field. As we decided to move forward and pursue an assignment in Cameroon, the region began to destabilize politically. Those were uncertain days, and I was full of uncertainty. But I remember so distinctly the Lord holding me and me clinging on to Him when I didn't know what would happen next. I very clearly remember driving down Mountain View Road in Williston with my littles lined up in the back, the windows down on our worn, rusting sedan, and the words to Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3, blasting on replay. If any of you know this, please feel free to join me. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim, each had 6 wings. With 2 He covered His face, and with 2 He covered His feet, and with 2 He flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory, His glory." I was frazzled, and I was uncertain about many things, but I was certain that this glorious and holy God, whom angels cannot look upon, is worthy of all my praise, honor, and devotion. May we give it to him all our days.